This week on Midwest Week, this year's inductees to the Quad Cities Sports Hall of Fame. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Don Doxie, sports editor for the Quad City Times. So to start with, Don, remind us, when was this started and who are some of the members already?
The Quad City Sports Hall of Fame came into existence in 1987. With three new inductees this year, there'll be 90 members. And people like Roger Craig, Don Nelson, Jack Fleck, the great Bob Reed of Augustana fame. A lot of people like that. Those were some of the original inductees, but through the years we've added obviously a lot of very worthy people.
And who decides each year who to nominate and then who gets in?
There's a panel of about 80 voters. All the local media, the TV stations, everything all have a vote in this, but also people who are in the Hall of Fame who've been inducted in the past also get a vote. Mm-hmm. And I think the list is, it's about 80 different people who have a vote in this.
And under full disclosure, we should say that I am one of the voters.
Exactly. Yes, you are.
Although I don't often pick the right people, but I try my best.
Well, we send out a ballot that's got well over 100 names on it, and every single one of those people is worthy of this. So it's a tough selection process every year.
So tell us, first of all, about Gary Connolly. Why is he going to be inducted?
Gary Connolly, arguably, is maybe the best swimmer ever to come out of the Quad Cities. He won two state titles at Moline High School. He was a 15-time All-American at Indiana in various events, and then swam in the 1972 Olympics, swam in the preliminaries of a couple of relays, and then they pulled him out and put Mark Spitz in so Mark Spitz could win 7 gold medals. But in one of those, I believe it was the 400 freestyle relay, the Americans set a world record in the preliminaries with Connolly in there. And Connolly actually had the fastest time of the four swimmers. So he was just a tremendous swimmer. And then went on from there to become the head coach at Kentucky for both the men's and women's teams for 22 years, was the head coach at Kentucky. So just a tremendous name in the sport of swimming.
Have you talked to him personally? Does he still carry a grudge about that Olympics thing, or has he gone beyond that?
No, you know what? I've talked to him. I talked to him once around 2000 about it, and then I've talked to him again just within the past few weeks. And I think it's even softened a little bit over those 15 years. It still stings a little bit because back then, unlike now, that he did not actually get a physical gold medal out of it, even though he was part of the effort to win a gold medal in two events. But now he's pretty good with it now.
Okay. And now tell us about Dan Knight.
Dan Knight, also a great name, but in the sport of wrestling, was one of the few four-time state champions in the state of Iowa at Clinton High School, and then wrestled at Iowa State. Had an injury there that kind of shortened his career, but then he also has gone into coaching and is now the very successful head coach at Bettendorf High School.
Now, wasn't he the guy that did not lose a match in high school?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I believe there are
six or something like that.
Yeah, I think I want to say it's 128. No, there are six people who have done that, actually. Actually, I think Eric Juergens, who's the wrestling coach at Augustana, is another one of the six. But, a tremendous, tremendous high school career, obviously.
And then the third person is Linda Grensing-Crum.
Linda was a star athlete at Davenport Central, helped Davenport Central win a state volleyball championship in 1981. They went 33-0, went on from there to start for 4 years at the University of Iowa, was a team MVP a couple times at Iowa in volleyball, and then went into coaching and has been the head coach at St. Ambrose. Let me think if I remember these. St. Ambrose, Butler, Duke, and Iowa State, was the head coach at all those places. Is now the head of a coaching alliance in Colorado. Her husband is employed by Colorado State University, so she's out there now. But again, a great name in the sport of volleyball. So we got some different. Mm-hmm. We're getting away from the football, basketball, baseball thing this year, where we've got swimmers and volleyball players and wrestlers. I kind of like that.
So what do these three have in common, Don? I mean, aside from being from here, what else can we say? What lessons can we learn, if anything?
Well, I think the one common thread, I think, is that they all were tremendous, exceptional athletes, probably the best in this area in their sport, and then went on to be very successful as coaches beyond that. All of them. Dan Knight is still a very highly successful coach at Bettendorf, but all of them had great success as coaches after being great athletes too.
And that's not always the case, is it? I mean, there are a number of people perhaps in like the major leagues or the NFL that were excellent players but didn't do so well coaching.
Well, exactly. Very often the people who are the most gifted athletically, it all comes so naturally to them that it doesn't necessarily translate to being a coach and teaching other people how to do it. But in the case of these three, it's worked out that way.
And in general, do we have any idea what makes a successful coach?
No.
Okay.
I think you ask me that every year.
Every year, yep. I figure year you'll come up with it.
And I don't know if there is one way to do it. I mean, people get it done in different ways. And, you know, some do it in a more gentle way. Some do it in the Bobby Knight way. But I don't think there is one set way to be a great coach.
Now, when you have this each year, Don, you also honor some local high school athletes. So how does that work?
We do. This actually started out as just a high school event way back in 1982. We honor the top male and female high school athletes of the year, and also we now honor the top male and female high school teams of the year. And we'll introduce all the finalists for those awards and everything and name the winners that night.
And there was a young woman, was it last year, the year before, from Muscatine that was one of the honorees?
Katie Schultz, yes. I believe, I want to say she lettered in 19 sports at Muscatine, which you can do in Iowa because they play softball in the summer. So you can do a couple extra sports that you couldn't necessarily do in Illinois. Yeah, and she was just involved in so many different things and is now playing softball at the college level.
Okay. And just to remind us, Don, what do you hope this yearly event accomplishes in having the Hall of Fame? What do you want people to take away from this?
I guess I probably should have said May 6th is when the event is. But, I think it just sheds light on the accomplishments of people in this area and maybe inspires others to follow the same path and do the same thing. That certainly was our hope with the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's so many people from here who have gone on and done great things, and I think it helps people to learn about what they've done, and you know, maybe it stimulates more growth and more success among the people that are here now.
And also, will the plaques and the previous people in the Hall of Fame be displayed sometime soon?
Yes, they've been in storage for a while, but they are going to be displayed on the suite level of Modern Woodman Park, the ballpark in Davenport. And that's not all set up yet, but it will be set up before May 6th, before our event, and it will be open to the public, and people can go in and look at these things. And it's going to be a great... something we've waited for a long time. We really haven't had them displayed for a while.